When you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member, life's an adventure with your long-distance amorcito. Because who doesn't love walking around the Big Apple con tu media naranja? Or finding the most romantic sunset overlooking the Pacific Ocean? And sneaking in besitos inolvidables in Venice? The Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/you know.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. Jenny, I'm in Washington, D.C. right now.
Ooh.
That's why, yeah, as you can see, this is not my home.
You are Carmen Sandiego. I never know where you are. I'm like trying to track you down on a map. I'm playing these like Windows 95 CD-ROM games.
Honestly, I don't know where I am at.
John, I missed you.
I miss you too, Jenny. It's been two episodes without seeing you, without seeing your lovely face, because I had an episode with my friend Jonathan, and then you had an episode with Annie.
Yeah.
And now we're together. We're back together again.
But like not. Like it's it's been... I really hope we can see each other in person at some point.
It's kind of ridiculous how our friendship has been based on seeing each other for a total of maybe 45 minutes in person.
Yeah, because I think the last time was at this like YouTube Latino event, but like you were hosting it, so you were really busy.
But like we've never had a hangout where it's just me and you just hanging out and not thinking about work or about the powers that be. It's always been, you know, and it's crazy that we have become friends.
Yeah.
Because I have friends, entre comillas, like people I've known for a huge portion of my life that I spent a lot of my childhood with. And I know you better, but I've seen you for 45 minutes of my life. I don't know if that says anything about me.
I'm always just like, man, what would it be like if Joanna and I lived in the same city? I'm not gonna lie, I do think about work stuff, but in a fun way. Because when I, you know, when I film with my friends, it still feels like we're hanging out and we're chismeando and we're cracking jokes and like, you know. So I'm like, damn, like me and Joanna could film so many awesome sketches and go to comedy shows together and do fun shit like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have like these sad, pathetic friendship fantasies.
I have them too. And it's kind of interesting how friendships for me have evolved since I was a kid, because, and I don't know what it was like for you, but like, you know, you're a kid and you're in school and you're just, you sort of play the hand you're dealt. It's like, these are the kids that are your age in your area that are going to your school. So like, pick the people you like from this.
Yeah, lot. You have no choice.
You have no choice, really. And then you go to college and you have a bit more choice. And it's like, okay, there's people that you choose your classes. Therefore, the people that you're surrounded by might be more interested in the types of things you do. And then you're like in your 20s and you're kind of partying, so you still have the friends that you party with. And then I feel like I turned like late 20s, early 30s, and all I want to do is hang out with people that don't drain me in any way, shape, or form, that just fill me up with light, and people that I either have that relationship with or people that I share my work or my passion with. Because of what you just said, there's nothing more fun than being like, oh God, I have to work on Sunday. Oh, but I'm gonna see my friends. Like
working and getting to work with your friends. Yeah.
Like right now I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm visiting. This is a friend that I made only a few years ago. Like, she's not my friend from childhood, but she's one of my closest friends I have right now. Like,
wow.
By far. And I never expected to have a friend that close that I made, that she is not in the entertainment industry. I met her through a crazy set of circumstances. My parents were helping a political prisoner out of Venezuela, and she was dating that political prisoner. And I don't know.
It's
a bizarre set of circumstances. And now we just clicked and became very, 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 very good friends.
Oh.
And it's interesting because, like, I can't pinpoint what it is about our relationship that makes me feel so comfortable and also makes me feel like I have such a good friend in her. Because my grandma always said that friendships from childhood are the ones that, like, last a lifetime, which might be the case for 1, 2, maybe 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't talk to my friends from sixth grade. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what Alexis is up to. I mean, on Facebook, I think she's living in Maryland. But, like, I don't know anything about her life.
It's funny because I just came back from a work trip in Orlando and two of my best friends live there. One of them is Jessie, my longest friendship. I have known her since the fourth grade.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, she and I have, she was my matron of honor, and I was her maid of honor at her wedding, and my other best friend, Patty, who I've known since the ninth grade. Like, a lot of my best friends have come from, like, mini life cycles. Like, mm-hmm. Jessie came from elementary school, Patty came from high school, and then my other best friend from high school is Rosie, who lives in Singapore and I don't get to talk to as much, but she was at my wedding, she was one of my bridesmaids. And, like, even if we don't talk that much because of these insane time differences, we're still very close. And then I've got my friends from, like, college, and a lot of them came from work. Like, some of my dearest best friend Emmy, I have been friends with since 2004. We were 18 years old. It was our first job at Toys R Us. He's still my best friend today.
Oh my God, Toys R Us?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Cut to me wearing, like, Converse and my feet bleeding at 2 a.m. restocking the fucking Bratz dolls and hearing that fucking godforsaken chipmunk song over and over again. I just wanted to punch every baby doll.
I mean, it's interesting you're saying this because what you're describing is basically war. So you and Emmy went to war together.
We went, like, to war together. That is why we have been through so much. Emmy then moved out here. So he literally lives, like, super, he's about to move 5 minutes away from me. But he and I have had this, like, brother, sister, like, inseparable. So people make fun of me sometimes because they're like, you can't possibly have that many best friends. And I'm like, I do. When I look at my closest friends that I love with all my heart and we're super fucking close, to me, they are best friends. Like, and I categorize in my brain. I'm like, these are my best friends. These are acquaintances. And, like, maybe it's ADHD that I'm trying to, like, organize, like, my top eight on MySpace. I don't fucking know. It helps me. But I do see them as my best friends, and people kind of make fun of me for it because they're like, you cannot possibly.
No, I get it. I 100% understand, because when you were in high school and you said my best friend, you were basically placing someone on top of others because you lived the same life. Therefore, you're sort of categorizing them based off the same circumstance.
How close we are, what we've gone through together. If I trust them with my life, if I know these people have my back no matter what, to me, these are people that I would call on if I wanted to vent, that I know who would be there for me during tough times or who have been. Those are best friends in my book.
But, like, for example, I don't know about you, but, like, my best friends do not really know each other.
Wow.
Like, maybe they know each other a little bit or whatever. Like, there's a couple there that do know each other. There's a couple here that know each other. But my best friends are just from completely different walks of life.
Wow.
Like, you have Chris, who's my director and my comedy guy. And, you know, we work together and we do so many creative things together. He's not Latin, so he doesn't know any of my Latin friends. And then my friend Jose Carlos from Campo Alegre, from high school. Like, he is my other best friend, but he doesn't know Chris. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
I feel like as I've grown up, my best friends are almost universes within themselves. And, like, they represent parts of me and the peaks of those parts of me and the peaks of those parts of my life. My comedy world, my Venezuelan world, my college, my first years in New York. Like, there's people that represent those sections, and there's people that I've forged very close relationships with them. And so the idea of having, like, a big reunion you know, I don't, if I go to my high school reunion, yes, there's a few people that I consider very, very good friends. And then there's a bunch that I don't, but my best friends wouldn't be, maybe a couple would be there, but my best friends wouldn't be there. And those people don't know the best friends I have now. So I feel like there's like this disconnect, especially with people that move a lot, that change cities, that change, that don't go to the same college as their friends, that leave and figure out a career path that's different than everyone else's. It's like you need to adapt and evolve. And as you keep going, although I have all these friends and stuff, I also feel like I'm more isolated, not in a bad way, but more isolated from a society or from like a community. But I have my mini communities with my friends. Like, they don't all know each other. I don't belong to one big thing. I don't belong to anything larger than these small pockets of people. Which was like tough for me to realize in my 20s, I think. And now I'm like, oh, this is okay.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the reason why we're on this friendship topic is because we received an email from a listener who wanted us to discuss what it's like making new friends when you move to a new city as an adult, which is not easy. So for us to share our experiences in that, and I know you have kind of gone back, you know, you've gone back and forth between Venezuela and New York y todo eso, and then for me, moving from Miami to Los Angeles.
I've been in New York for 10 years. I've never lived this amount of time in any place in my entire life. And whoa. I have a complete network of people that I've built and crafted for 10 years. And there's this possibility of me having to go to LA. And I am terrified. Because I know. At least I have some friends there, you know. But it's really hard. And I remember moving to New York and feeling like, yes, I had a couple friends there, but it wasn't a network. And it felt really overwhelming because everyone is so cold in New York. And for me, the way that I began making friends was through like improv and sketch classes. Because those were people that had my same interests. So when I moved to New York, it was like, oh, comedy classes. I met a bunch of people through that. But I remember having a tough time because making friends is a lot like dating in the sense that you're trying to make a connection so badly. But do you know when you just meet someone and you're like trying to pick up on all the signs? Like, is this person crazy or do I really like them?
Oh my God.
You know, I've met some friends through my husband's master's program, and like there's some filters there, right? Like, oh, he traveled to Brazil with them, so they're not crazy. But like you meet a random person in a improv 101 class and you're like, you could be keeping your grandma's corpse in your closet and I don't know.
Yeah. I don't mean to sound all woo-woo, as they say. I'm an empath. I don't just call myself that. I didn't do some like 17 magazine quiz. I'm dating myself by saying that. What the fuck? But I had to figure that out and discover that in therapy and like just really studying what an empath really is and what the fuck. And I check all the boxes and it makes complete sense. And I'm super sensitive to people's energies, but I do believe in like energies and the energies that people give off and whether you're a good match for each other or not. But what happens is because I'm an empath, I tend to ignore my gut feelings about people when I'm like, Jenny, there's just something off. I don't think this person is good for you. Where, you know, you do come across people who are damaged and narcissistic. I used to laugh at my abuela back when I was a kid because she'd be like, ay, la envidia, y el mal de ojo, y la 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 la. And I was like, ay, abuela, please. Like, I'm this ugly nerd. I'm poor. No one fucking is jealous of me. But growing up and, you know, again, therapy and all this shit, I'm just like, oh my God, jealousy is very real. Envy is very real. And it was very tough in Miami specifically. So when I moved out here, I actually, some of my greatest friends in LA who I'm close to, who I talk to often, who are there for me, who have brought me soup and medicine when I'm feeling bad, are new people that I've met here who are in the industry. They're my competition, technically. And I can tell, like, I just know based on, and I'm like, these are really good people and I'm very lucky. I just need to get better, dude, at listening. Like, the gut feeling is there, but to actually say, okay, I'm going to stay away from this person rather than, well, maybe they had a traumatic childhood and I just,
Jenny, I had one, I mean, as a kid, I think as we all do, I thought my self-worth was definitely wrapped up in my friendship. So if my friend was mad at me, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm like fucking worthless. And like, you know, you grow up and you're like, absolutely not. That's not the case, bitch. Relax. But I had a really traumatic situation with someone I thought was a friend whom I was living with. And it turned out that I thought I was going crazy over the course of like a year and a half, because I kept on losing things to the point of like I'd leave my journal on a table and then that journal would disappear. And I was going to therapy a bunch because I was like, I think I'm going insane. Like, I think there's something like I can't figure it out. It turns out my friend and this person I was living with had been stealing from me for a year and a half. And I would not believe it. I was like, dude, I literally, there was no way it wasn't her. And I was still in denial. And then one day, my friend who came to visit and her shoes went missing. And I found the shoes under this person's bed. And at that moment, I was like, clearly this person has a lot of psychological issues. And I tried to fix her. And I involved myself and I helped her try to get therapy.
Dios mío.
Bana, and then it all blew up in my face. And that was the last time that was literally a moment in my life where I was like, lesson learned.
Dude.
Trust your gut, trust yourself, and surround yourself with people that te aporta, te agrega, that add to you. And I see a lot of people continuing like toxic relationships because they're loyal to this abstract concept that, you know, you don't, there's no loyalty there if you don't need it to be or if you don't want it to be. But you know what? In order to get to that point, you have to be willing to lose friendships.
Yeah. And that's very difficult.
You have to be willing to say, I'm willing to let this person go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable. I think that's what the biggest issue is. It's incredibly uncomfortable. So then you kind of hold on and you deal with their bullshit and you deal with them affecting your spirit and you can feel it. Like, you can feel the gunk that's on you when you interact with these people that you know aren't good for you. And, you know, you keep giving them chances and you keep trying. And ultimately, there's going to come a breaking point. And that's happened to me multiple times. I wish I learned my lesson that quickly. I feel like I still struggle, but I think during the pandemic, I learned so much. And just over the past, since moving to LA in general, I actually lost a lot of friends for a variety of reasons. People that didn't understand my new schedule, people that would get mad at me when I wouldn't visit them every time I went back to Miami, like all kinds of reasons. A lot of it was pretty benign, and I'm just like, if years and years of friendship ended because of something so benign, then this friendship is not worth saving. If I feel like I'm in a friendship where I feel judged constantly, where I feel like I have to walk on eggshells, that they're potentially thinking the worst of me or don't really experience happiness when I'm happy, that there's some lingering jealousy there, I think most people can feel that. but they don't want to admit it that, oh man, like, is this friend of X years really not out for my best interest?
And when we were in high school, Jenny, like, you sort of like, I remember high school friend fights were like gladiator brawls with words. Like, it was really bad, right? It was like toxic. And it's because if you like lost, I don't know, I went to a high school where there was 50 people in my grade. Okay, so if you lost like three friends, you're fucked. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you had to maintain your friendships. Everyone hangs out with each other. So you had to keep these toxic people around to like make way for the good people.
Yeah.
And now my mom was really wise in telling me this as a kid, because my mom, she moved a lot. She told me most of my best friends I made after the age of 30. So you have to stop holding on to these things. Like, these old friendships that are wonderful, great. Don't hold on to the ones that give you strife and unhappiness. There's an overpopulation problem in this world. There's literally too many fucking people. And you're going to tell me you're going to stick around with these bozos that are making you feel like shit? Like, go. There's a world. It's scary. It's scary to make new friends. But there's a world of people that are pretty, pretty remarkable. If you're able to have the strength of, like, you know, going and doing a dumb improv class like me. Oh, God. I made so many weird friends.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Everyone is a hero in their own story, right? And so when other people hurt me, it's a reminder for me to also check myself and go, am I hurting other people? What can I do to make sure that I'm not a douchebag and to make sure that I'm communicating with my friends properly? And so something that's happened to me is that it's kind of like when men think women are flirting with them and they're not, they're just being really nice. Like, a lot of people tend to think that I'm their best friend, but they're not my best friend.
Oh my God.
And
Jenny,
so they have these high expectations for me. Yes. Of a best friend.
Yes.
And I can't give them that because I'm giving that to my actual best friend. I am literally there for them all the time, no matter how busy I am. But then there's, yes. So I want to hear your experience because I'm so glad I'm not alone here.
You said that. And it feels conceited to say.
I know, I hate it.
I'm just very warm. I think I'm very warm and people think I'm warm to them. I'm warm to everyone. I'm warm to, like, the lady that I had to return my CVS bought, like, hair dryer because it wasn't functioning yesterday. And she was like, oh, girl, we should hang out. And I was like, okay, like, I don't know. I'm like chronically, it's an issue. But like a couple of years ago, I had like just met this girl, and given we were like, what's up? We were friendly, and then she asked me to be her bridesmaid and then to give a speech at her wedding.
I don't
know. And I was like, girl, I don't know you, honey. And I was like, yeah, of course. And I remember I told Daniel, my boyfriend at the time, and he was like, who the fuck is this person? I've never met her. And I'm like, I know. I don't know how this happened. You know what I mean?
Like, and I feel bad, yo. Like, it's like, I know, I get what you mean. Because I'm here like, I have too many friends. Like, I have so many friends. Like, I don't even know what to do with myself. And it's fucking
weird.
That
feels like a terrible thing to say.
Because I do. I like friendship. I like people. But when I have a connection with someone, I like to keep that friendship going. That is who I am. Like, I'm like, wow, you and I could really get along. But then what happens is life, right? But like, you and I, right? It's like we have a podcast, we're writing, you know, writing for TV, voice auditions, acting in whatever, like just juggling so much, making video content that we're going insane. And sometimes I feel this terrible guilt and I've found myself having to take screenshots of my calendar because I can sense sometimes that people don't believe me. And then there's something about that that really bugs me because I know my heart and I know how much I care about people and I don't want to hurt people's feelings because I put myself in other people's shoes. So I'm like, oh no, it's not you. It's not because I think I'm better than you or that you're not worth my time. I'm literally drowning. Like I can't breathe right now. And like, sorry, but I'm also married. I have a fucking husband. I have my parents. I have my sister. I have my dog. Like, and my close circle of friends who need me. And I can't, it's hard. I don't even know. I get so overwhelmed because I want to be there for everyone. I just want to split myself into like 10 people so that I could tend to every single friendship equally. But I can't do it.
People spend more time with their coworkers than anyone else in their life. Okay, let's put that into perspective. I spend more time with the writers on my show than I spend with my parents, my husband, my sister, my closest friends. I spend more time with them. So what ends up happening? I want to bring my friends to where I work, which is sort of what I've been doing, because it's like the only way I feel like I'm spending time with people that matter. And I become friends with my coworkers. And I think that for other people, I mean, a lot of the times I don't become friends with my coworkers. So we're all in this life where we're spending most of our time with people that aren't the closest people to us necessarily. Sometimes we are, but most of the times we're not. So we're limited in our resources of ourselves to give to the relationships that matter more to us.
Yeah.
So for, you know, comedians and stuff, like anytime I have an opportunity to mesh my friendship time with my work time, I do it. And those friends I have that aren't in the industry, it's just harder for me to figure out an excuse. Like me and you hang out every week because we have a podcast, you know?
I know. Yeah.
And I create those excuses like, oh, I have to shoot a video. I'm going to invite, I haven't seen these three people in so long, I'll have them act in it. And I don't have that ability to do that with friends that aren't in this world. And it makes me sad because it's frustrating because I want to spend time with them, but I can't.
I think especially, you know, with the pandemic going on and everything, it's important when it comes to our friendships, if you really feel like, you know, these friendships are worth it, try to be easier on each other. If you don't hear from your friend for a while, it's not, you know, at the end of the day, the world does not revolve around you. I know it's like really weird, a really weird concept to like wrap your mind around, but
I still don't get
it. The world doesn't, you know, and you don't know what they're going through. Everyone handles things differently. People have gone through hell and back during this time. Yeah. And so, you know, because I, especially when the pandemic first started and people were kind of dealing with things in their own way, like retreating in their closet and playing Animal Crossing for 20 hours a day. And that's okay. And it's not because these people didn't want anything to do with you or they don't love you anymore. It's just like, fuck, man, mental health is a bitch and people with things. And so, and there was like this thing going on online that's like, there was like a divide. There was people like, well, now you know who your true friends are if they're not reaching out to you during a global pandemic. And then the other side was like, no. Because of the fact that there's all this going on, we need to be kinder to one another and more understanding. If you don't hear back from your friends and if you don't talk as often, don't take it personally.
Yeah. I'm, you know, so many of my friends that I love and adore, you know, they sometimes call me and they're like, hey, is everything okay? Do you hate me? Like, is everything fine?
Oh.
Like, and sometimes it frustrates me, and it's not fair that it frustrates me, but it frustrates me because I'm like, bitch, don't you know me? Like, no, I don't hate you. No, I'm not frustrated at you. I am terrible at time management, and I don't check my phone, and I'm like, I have literally at this moment, I'm not exaggerating, 343 text messages that I haven't read, 398 missed calls, and 34,000 emails. I don't know. How I'm alive is a miracle to me. So no, it isn't you. And I think for me, it's also been a lesson for me to understand my friends and realize and not take things personally when something happens on their end. Because
yeah,
we're all just trying to make it, man. And if someone has a problem with you and it is not going to call you and talk to you about it, then that's their issue. So let's just be chill, bro. You know what I'm saying? Let's be chill.
As hard as that is.
So Jenny, did we answer this question?
Well, I don't think so, but we're super helpful. We're like the opposite of Dr. Fraser Crane. But I think going back to what we were talking about earlier, where it's like, you know, in school, you're basically handed a group of people and it's like, pick one or two. You know, this is all you got. You're stuck with these people. You're going to be friends with them. And it's just this thing. But then as adults, I feel like it's, when it comes to making new friends as adults, I think we still have this mentality that it's supposed to come to us in the same way. That's not how it works.
But I think in high school, it's like, figure yourself out through these relationships.
Yes.
And then as an adult, it's like, here's who you are. Go find people that fit it.
Yeah. I mean, you know how you talked about having a lot of friends within your improv and comedy circles? I think that is my advice to people, is taking part in hobbies, really, like that to me, or like online groups, I think is, at least there's that, right? That's how a lot of people find friends. I've found many friends that way over the years as well. Like I've had online friends where we just really get along because we're part of this like fucking, I don't know, Harry Potter group. Or, you know, I have my little Comic-Con friends. Like I have friends that I met at conventions. And while we have hung out here and there outside of the convention circuit, we mainly just hang out at the cons. And it's like, hey, you here? Let's link up. And we hang out at the conventions. And I think it's just about, and that's how you really find your people, honestly, is by shared interests, taking improv classes, you know, conventions, playing Dungeons and Dragons at a comic book shop. Obviously, I'm talking about all this nerd shit because that's me.
Yeah, this is nerd shit. You're like literally speaking gibberish. I feel it. That, like, you know, it's socially acceptable to date to find your partners. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I got to go out there, put myself out there and find my partner. Why can't we have that same mentality with friendships? We should have a bunch of friendship apps. We should have a bunch of like friendship websites. Who wants to be friends? Like, I know that there's some apps here and there, but people have this perception of it being pathetic. And I think that's so wrong. Like, I really truly believe in this world, we should see friendships and finding friendships like finding a partner and dating. And it's just going out there, seeing Absolutely. Who's right and who's wrong. And then like, that's it, girl. You know what I mean? Like, go out. You know how many times I've had coffee with women that I'm like, oh my God, I kind of want to be your friend. And then I'm like, oh, not anymore. Or like, oh, I love her. Like, I've done that in the past. And
yeah,
it's the way I've sort of built my network. And I didn't see it like that at the time. I'd be like, oh yeah, this is a professional coffee. No, it wasn't. I wanted to be her friend. Like, let's be real. I wanted to be her friend.
Yeah.
It's like me and you, Jenny. It was literally like the excuse. I was like, hey, are you here? Yeah, we should link up. Like, we're here. Like, let's meet. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, I want to be her friend. It wasn't like, oh, this is strategic for my Instagram. Like, it was, this is someone I could potentially have a friendship with. So this this entire podcast exists because we basically dated each other as friends.
No, it's so true. And, you know, and it took a bit, even though, again, we saw each other for a whole 45 minutes in total. But even from a distance, we just gel together and we get each other. And that understanding and that weirdness and shared experiences is why I genuinely enjoy your friendship and like why this podcast and everything else we do together works.
Also, my alarm just went off. I have to go to the train station and catch my train back to New York.
That was beautiful.
That wasn't Alicia Keys. That was me.
Wow. I thought you like legit played an Alicia Keys track.
You know, my friend I was telling you about, she's actually Alicia Keys. I'm staying in her apartment.
Oh my God.
Till next time, Jenny.
Till next time, my friend.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.